I am very glad to have Brother Stan's mum in church this morning. I don't think she even was awake when I last saw her. I had no idea that many tubes could go into one person in ICU. I didn't know what all those machines did. We weren't even allowed in there, Brother Stan, were we? Unless we had like gloves and mask and everything on. But we laid hands, Brother Stan and I, on our sister, and we prayed in the name of Jesus. Jesus is big enough to take care of any situation. He's big enough to take care of any problem. There's nothing too hard for my God to handle. And there's power in His name. Amen. Amen, amen. So I'm very glad to have you with us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're getting ready for the preaching of the word this morning. I do want to make a quick follow-up announcement, though, before we get into that. I don't want to break what God is doing. But I do want to thank Sister Linda. She has put her hand up and said that she is willing to head up our creche team. Because we've got quite a lot of little babies. Amen. However, I've told her no creche today. Because she's the only one. And I don't want Sister Linda to do all the work. Okay, so I need other people to put their hand up and say, Pastor, I'm willing to help out. I want to be involved, amen. Creche will run from now until the end of the service. Just for the preaching. Just so mom and dad can listen to God's word, amen. And don't have to worry about the kids running around. They'll be have time to play together. It'll be good, amen. But we do need more volunteers. I don't want to just leave this with one person because that's a recipe for burnout, okay? So if you want to help out, please come and see me after church. We'll get you set up with the church app so you can have your roster on the app. You can see everything, and let's get involved. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brother Kenneth, why don't you come? Privileged to have this guy as my brother. Preach to us God's word, and let's respond. Amen.
To the Lord one more time. Shout with a voice of triumph. Our God is good. Amen. All the time, our God never seems to fail. Hallelujah. Well, I want to go straight into the word, y'all, because I'm standing between lunch, and I know lunchtime is just around the corner. But if you just give me a few moments of your time here this morning, and I can just share some thoughts from the Word of God for us. I just want to start off by giving this preference. As we begin this new year full of grand possibilities and hidden treasure, may God challenge each and every one of us with what is most important work of all of us. We must be saved. You may feel that this morning message may be challenging, but as a watchman of the hour, my heart is greatly disturbed over so many things that are just not right in this society that we live in. We all must take time and reflect on what we have promised our Christ, our Savior, our Lord, to seek the kingdom of God first and have not. It is easy for any of us to get so busy with life that we fail to make a real life, for nothing is precious as a soul. I can imagine that so many of you listening to my voice will quickly discard or disregard my efforts this morning. Please listen in for a few moments. We are all going before the Lord and giving an account, not only deeds and misdeeds, but also wasted time, selfish syndrome, wasted funds, lack of loyalty, fail to sacrifice according to our means, unwilling to get involved in all we could have, prayerless days and prayerless nights, lack of study of the Word of God, lack of passion for the lost soul, being so hit and amiss at church attendance. The list goes on and on. When we think of what Jesus did for us at Calvary and the great salvation we have experienced, souls are our responsibility. If you are here today, what you have been doing, you are probably not being saved. For with God, growth and progression and conformity to His image are to be a normal occurrence. I pray that none of us keep living from memory of previous experiences or services. We all must be anointed with fresh oil. We are going to do His wonderful will. Are we ready for His appearance? If the life you are living is natural, only ask God for the supernatural. This morning's text, if I could ask you one more time to rise. We go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32. And in verse 11, as an eagle, say amen when you're there, say hang on, say wait up, say amen. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 11, as an eagle stirred up her nest, fluttered over her young, spread it abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wing, so the Lord alone did lead him. And there was no strange God with him. Talking about Moses. You may be seated. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, plug me in for a little while that I may speak your word, Lord, and let the listening here receive and respond, Lord, what you would want me to speak this morning, Father. Have your way, God. I give you all the glory, Lord, all the honor and all the praise, Lord, that you are worthy of. Why don't we clap our hands one more time and shout with a voice of triumph this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. The title that I want to title this short message is Let God Disturb Your Destiny. Hallelujah. We read from the scriptures of Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 11. Moses penned this portion of scripture. He could have had seen one of the feathers or, you know, and it reminded him of this eagle he may have an encounter with. As this scripture we read, we find that the eagle came down and stirred up the nest. You know, Moses, he lived a good life. Moses was adopted to the grandson of Pharaoh. Moses' mother was Pharaoh's daughter. And so Moses' life, upbringing was, you know, with glamour and, you know, with all the luscious food of Egypt could have offered, because at that time, Egypt was the superpower nation of the world. So everything of the world was in Egypt. You know, you talk about Polish cake, they were in Egypt. If you talk about sweet damper, it was in Egypt. And all these, you know, lovely food and lovely wines. Everything was in Egypt. And so Moses had all the, you know, all the blessings of his, you know, mother. And he lived in a comfortable life, and his life was full of blessings. But somewhere along the line, Moses had a disturbance in his life. He knew that there was something more than what he had. You know, he didn't settle for what he had. And so in Moses' life, the transition from living in the Pharaoh led him to the wilderness, and he lived in the wilderness, and transformation occurred in the wilderness, and his life was changed. Hallelujah. It is as if the eagle stirred up his nest. Hallelujah. He didn't want to live a life of complacency anymore. He didn't want to live a life of luxury. He didn't want to live a life of, you know, being set back and relaxed and, you know, not doing more than, you know, what he could offer. And so this particular portion of scripture this morning, as I share with you the life of Moses, some of us here today, we are blessed because we live in the land of milk and honey, all right? Amen. We don't have seasons where we live in drought. You know, there's always food on the table, except for COVID, when COVID came. Hallelujah. Praise God. But there was still provision for us. Hallelujah. God is the disturber and the developer of our life. If Moses wasn't unwilling to let go of his comforts, let go of his, you know, he could have been next in Pharaoh's line to be the next Pharaoh. But along the way, hallelujah, God came in and disturbed his nest. This morning here, as we sit and listen to the echo of my voice here this morning, the scripture tells us in the book of Revelation 23 and verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me." Hallelujah. We find many, many stories in the Bible about people's lives that are being disturbed. In the book of Acts, we find that Saul, who was converted to Paul, he was on his way down to Damascus. And when on his way down to Damascus, he was on a mission, but God intervened and disturbed the destiny of his life. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen? Am I too serious? Give me a smile. Hallelujah. Jesus loves you. Amen. Saul was on his way down to the road of Damascus. In his journey down, a light shined about and it disturbed his destiny. He was changed from Saul to Paul. We find that other stories that, you know, people were changed and had an encounter. Hallelujah. You see, the thing about the eagle this morning, if I could just share something about the eagle this morning, hallelujah. The eagle came down, as Moses penned in the Bible here, that it came down and it disturbs his nest, hallelujah. And I know sometimes when the move of the Holy Ghost comes in, hallelujah, and it breathes upon the nest of our church, some people feel comfortable and they want to lay back. And while God wants to, you know, stir us up a bit, and, you know, put that fire inside of us and make us, you know, get out of our seat and, you know, run the aisles and, you know, do something for God. Hallelujah. Thank God for moments like that. And, you know, we need to be sensitive, you know, and, you know, and step out of our comforts and step into the altar and allow God, hallelujah, to breathe, hallelujah, upon these things that we have. We have wings. Hallelujah. But the Bible says that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up their wings as eagles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes in life we gotta give up those things that we hold on to. Amen. Amen. We gotta give up them things We got to give up these things so we can go up. Hallelujah. You know, we need to let go of these things that are holding us back from going up. God wants to come into our lives and disturb, hallelujah, what you've been holding on to. Hallelujah. We got to trust the process. You know, Moses's process, he didn't know what the future may hold, but he trusted the process by leaving the comforts of Egypt and pressing out into the desert. Hallelujah. He didn't know that, you know, one day that he would lead, you know, millions and millions of people out of Egypt. He just knew that, you know, he couldn't live the same, that there was something in him that said that, you know, I'm not a chicken, I'm an eagle. Hallelujah. I got these things they call wings, you know. Chicken, they can't fly, they stay on the ground. Hallelujah. We are not made to stay on the ground. Hallelujah. We are like eagles. We are made to soar. Hallelujah. And you gotta soar with the Lord this morning. You gotta let go. Hallelujah. Let go of those things so you can, you know, you can go. You can soar with the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Trust the process this morning. Hallelujah. It may seem, you know, it may seem difficult. It may seem hard. Hallelujah. Let go of those things. Hallelujah. That is holding you back. What does the scripture tells us? Hallelujah. The scripture tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Hallelujah. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. If you will trust the process, if you will trust the Lord, hallelujah, he shall direct your path. Hallelujah. This morning, hallelujah. When Moses, hallelujah, wrote this particular scripture, he may not have understood that he was speaking prophetically of a spiritual concept. You know, in the animal kingdom, eagles, female eagles, mate for life. Or, you know, if there ever comes a time, if these two eagles, the male and the female, the mother and the father, if the father passes away, the mother eagle will mourn. And she will mourn for a while because she wouldn't want to, you know, move on in life. She would, you know, settle and, you know, think about what has happened. She won't look for a new mate. Rather, she will mourn for the loss of her mate. But when the time comes, everybody say, when the time comes, the mother eagle leaves her comfort and flies out. When she flies out, she's mate hunting, my brother and my sister, looking for a soulmate again. And as she goes out, she gives a special kind of a whistle. Not the whistle we have today where the boys and girls go, not that type of whistle. And she flies out looking for that soulmate. On the way in the air, another male eagle finds this looking feathering bird and comes. And when this mother eagle looks at this bird flying, to impress this male or female eagle, the male eagle flies down, picks up sticks, goes up again, and drops the sticks. And on the other side, the mother eagle is looking if the male eagle will catch these sticks. So you drop the sticks, and the sticks will go down. The male eagle picks it up halfway before he hits the ground. And the mother eagle, quite impressed there because of what the... So he picks up rocks now, the mother eagle, and goes higher and drops the rocks down. So the male eagle chases the rocks, picks up the rocks. It's all a test. Got a, you know, young man, young woman, don't rush into relationship. That was for free. And so we find that he picks up more things and challenges male eagle, swooping down, picking up boulders and dropping them. Once the female eagle sees that the male eagle is you know, good enough, fast enough, smart enough to do what the female eagle wants. Next thing you know, they have little eaglets. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. The mother eagle knows, for that day will come when the ability of the male eagle will be desperately needed. Thus, her testing him was very important as he chooses her mate. The mother, you know, when she has all these new eaglets in the nest, she puts feathers and soft bits of grass. So it makes it very comfortable for these eaglets. She brings foods for these eaglets and feeds them. However, the day will come when the eagles will grow up and start getting feathers. The mother will know it's time for the young eaglets to fly. So she comes in, as the scripture tells us here in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 11. She beats her wings and begins to stir up her nest. That's what happens when the Holy Ghost hits the church family. You know, the Holy Ghost, it came in as of a rushing mighty wind, and it stirred all the place where they were sitting. Hallelujah. And they that were gathered there, hallelujah, they got a hold of what was happening in, hallelujah, in the atmosphere, hallelujah, Jesus. Sometimes the nest, it can be a comfortable place, hallelujah. And it can be a place where, you know, where we find, you know, things of comfort. But we find the scripture this morning that the mother eagle comes and rearranges the house or the nest. Hallelujah. Sometimes we need the Lord to come and rearrange our rooms. Amen. Amen. Take out those things. Hallelujah. And stir us a little bit, you know. Give us that passion inside of us to pray a bit longer. Hallelujah. To wait on the altars a bit longer. Hallelujah. To read the word of God a bit longer. More chapters. Hallelujah. And sometimes God, you know, challenges us. You know, the scripture tells us that the flesh is always weak. Amen. But the spirit is willing. Hallelujah. If we can tap into the spirit, hallelujah, and get connected in the spirit and be renewed, you know, and follow the spirit, hallelujah. What does the scripture say to us? Hallelujah. We walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. That is the thing. Hallelujah. Now we need to trust the process. If Moses didn't trust the process, if Moses would have walked in the flesh, he wouldn't be, you know, where he was, you know, on that day, hallelujah. He wouldn't be in the Bible. But because Moses, hallelujah, trusted the process, what was happening in his life, hallelujah, he knew that he was made for something more. And that's what each and every one of us have inside of us. If you could tap into yourself and find out who you really are in Christ, hallelujah, you were made for more. You were made to soar, hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Finally, the mother eagle gets enough nerve to step on the edge of the nest. Immediately, praise God, stands on the near edge and rocks and eats in front of the eaglets. What the mother eaglet is wanting to do is make these little eaglets move out of their comforts and step on the edge of the nest. Hallelujah. While the mother eagle is eating this KFC on the other side of the ledge, hallelujah, the eaglet is looking and saying, "Mommy, come on, come over here into the nest and give me some of that good-looking chicken that you have there." Hallelujah. Praise God. But the mother eagle sits on the other side, wanting this little eaglet to, you know, to experience what she has, to know that these things called wings, they are made to, you know, not to sit in the church, hallelujah, and wait for the preacher to preach, to, you know, not to sit in the church, hallelujah, and wait for somebody else to get out of their comfort zone and run here, you know, at the front of the altar. These wings, they were made to soar, hallelujah. They were made for more, hallelujah. So once the eagle, hallelujah, the eaglet is challenged to stand at the edge of the nest, hallelujah, for some reason or another, because the legs are still, you know, weak and the wings are still, you know, not strong. But the mother eagle challenges these eaglets to step out of their comfort zone. And for some reason or another, the eagle falls down from the nest. On his ways down, the mother eagle watches the eaglet fall. Hallelujah. You know, what does the scripture tells us? Some of us, as Pastor said this morning, we are not perfect Christians, amen? We fall, we fail, we slip, amen? But thank God that, you know, when we fall, we shall arise. You know, in darkness, the Lord shall be our light. Hallelujah. Thank God that He is near. And on the way down, hallelujah, as the eagle falls down, all that test that the male eagle did earlier, the male eagle comes. The scripture tells us he picks them up on the back of their wings. Imagine these wings, 2 meter wings, wingspan. They could put 2 eagles on this side and 2 eagles on the other side, and they're still able to fly up. That's how extraordinary these animals are. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. This morning, scripture, as I read from Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 11, this is a spiritual understanding of Deuteronomy. When we begin to pray, the Spirit knows what's best for us. There are times when it seems that our whole world is being turned upside down, just like these baby eaglets. When in actuality, God is just saying, it's time to fly. Prayer is the best way to fly, because the Spirit knows the way we should take. From the Word of God, James 5:15 tells us, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he had committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Notice what it is saying in the Word of God this morning, the prayer of faith. I have never healed a person, nor have I ever saved a person. Rather, it was the prayer of faith that did the work. And the Lord was with the one that raised him up. The scripture continues to speak in James 5:16. Confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject, James 5 and verse 17, to like passion as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought fruit. Yes, indeed, it is effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man that availeth much. We need to tap into this principle. We need to understand this principle of what the Spirit, that the Word points out to us. We find the same scripture in the book of 1 Kings 17, where Elijah, the Tishbite, who came to the king Ahab. And he said, as the Lord God liveth, God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, in 1 Kings 17:1, before whom I stand, there shall not be a Jew these years, but according to my word. You may think that he came out of nowhere. Elijah, standing with nothing, only a leather girdle around him, smelling like the wilderness, pointing his fingers in the face of this king and saying, repent. You may think that he's just coming out of thin air, but rather, in the reference of James, as I read earlier, this is the word of prophecy that came with first much prayer. Not any type of prayer, but effectual, fervent, earnest prayer. Hallelujah. Throughout the word of God, the power of prayer was demonstrated through lives of such men of God. People like Moses, people like Abraham, people like Elijah, people like Daniel, hallelujah. I quote a quote from Samuel Chadwick, Brother Branham. The one concern of the devil is to keep believers from praying. The devil feels nothing from prayerless saints, prayerless work, prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, mocks at our wisdom, but trembles when we pray. The world will be only shaken by a people that will get a hold of God and pray. The hope of this world is not a greater method. The hope of this world is not a greater program. The hope of this world is not a greater people, but an ignited people by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost through prayer. Hallelujah. We see this in the book of Acts as the people in Acts 1:12, when the brethren left the mountain called Olivet, and they came to Jerusalem and they waited there. It was people like Peter, James, John, Andrew, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James. They came because Jesus told them, go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise. Hallelujah. They continue, hallelujah, with one accord in prayer, in supplication. It was women, Lord, and men, they came with an attitude to pray. Hallelujah. Elijah prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And God honored this prophet with the word when he spoke unto the king of Ahab, because the battle had already been won in prayer. Hallelujah. Family, my brother, my sister, it's time for us to awake out of our sleep. Hallelujah. It is high time. It is time to pray. Time to wait upon the Lord. A time to fight. A time to pray. What does the book of Ecclesiastes says? Everything there is a season, hallelujah. And every season there is a reason, hallelujah. And that season, hallelujah, if we can tap into that place of prayer, hallelujah, 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 there is impossibilities that are waiting for us if we would step into that prayer mode, hallelujah. Hallelujah to God. Bless you, Lord. The time to prayer, the prayer of faith to speak the word. Hallelujah. The battle is fought in prayer. Hallelujah. All wars in the natural, first won in the supernatural. It is time, my brother. It is time, my sister. God desires us, all of us, to lift us to a new dimension in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To share with the secrets of the Lord, we as a church, collectively, we as a church, individually, must first abide with Him in prayer. Not just a little while, but wait until the promise is endured from on high. One of this quote, a well-known preacher, his name is E.M. Bounds. And I quote, God's acquaintance is not made, no one hurriedly. He does not bestow his gift upon the casual or the hasty comer or goer. But to be alone much with God is a secret of knowing Him in being of influence. With Him, we must pray. As we rise this morning, hallelujah. Burdens are wrought on our knees through prayer. Breakthrough are wrought through our knees through prayer. Break forth are wrought through our knees in prayer. Sins are remitted on our knees through prayer. Evil imaginations are captured on our knees through prayer. Doubt and fear are expelled on our knees through prayer. Strongholds are broken on our knees through prayer. Families are made stronger on our knees through prayer. Church grows stronger on our knees through prayer. We can become a stronger church. We can become a stronger city. We can become a stronger nation on our knees through prayer. Our most influential position in God's kingdom is on our knees in prayer. I wonder this morning, from left to right, from front to back, if we could lay our hands, if appropriate, to the one next to you. Because the Bible says, pray for one another. Hallelujah. The effectual prayer of a fervent man, it availeth much. Or if you want to come to the altar and wait upon the Lord, the wind bloweth where it listeth, the scripture.